If you pray, O teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, what do you think God's answer is likely to be?
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the great hymns of my life. A listener from Michigan wrote, I want to write to you about an annoyance I have had with you. The way you slowly and deliberately begin each broadcast with those same words, you are loved with an everlasting love, that's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, I want to tell you this story, she says. 2 months ago, life took a tragic turn. My brother, his wife, and baby were all killed in a car accident. He was 27. He had drawn many to Christ. He was a quiet, gentle man. Hundreds of his students came to the funeral. In his Bible, I found a quotation from your husband, Jim. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This letter is an expression of a change of heart. Thank you for daily repeating reassuring words of God's everlasting love. They bring strength and comfort to me. I've mentioned many times the importance of hymns in my growing up years. We were taught to sing. Our whole family sang every morning after breakfast before my father read the Bible and we prayed. We sang on Sunday evenings. We would sing around the piano. We would have groups of people come in. We did a lot of singing of hymns. And I'm very grateful for the fact that many of those hymns are a part of my life, a part of my consciousness, a part of my prayers, a very important part of my prayers. And I do want to reiterate again how helpful I find hymns to be when I'm not quite sure how to phrase my prayers. Just open an old hymn book. You'll be amazed at how many hymns really are prayers. And one of my very favorite hymns is often called Samuel Rutherford's Hymn. It was actually put into poetry by Annie R. Cousin, but the words were taken from the last words of Samuel Rutherford, who was a Scottish preacher, born in 1600 and died in 1661. When he was a little boy, about 3 or 4 years old, Samuel Rutherford fell into a well. Friends ran for help. When they came back, they found him seated on a knoll, cold and dripping, but uninjured. They asked, "How did you get out of the well?" "A bonny white man came and drew me out of the well," he said. There seemed to be no explanation other than an angel. He had terrible suffering in his life. For one thing, his wife was extremely ill, and through her suffering, his shepherd's heart was developed. He became a man of very deep sympathy. If you can get your hands on the letters of Samuel Rutherford, you will find dozens, hundreds of letters dealing with the subject of suffering, personal letters written to people who were suffering. The words of the first stanza are these, "The sands of time are sinking," using the metaphor there of an hourglass. "The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but dayspring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." And I hope that perhaps some of you older folks who are listening to me, perhaps people who are in wheelchairs, nursing homes, alone at home, feeling very lonely, some of you practically helpless, I hope that you will be encouraged by this thought, that the sands of time are sinking. It's not a bad thought, is it, as we get older, to realize that this life will be over and the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair, sweet morn, awakes. Then here's one of my favorite stanzas. I can't read them all because there are 21 stanzas to this hymn. You won't find 21 in any hymn book, but I have them at home. The third stanza, according to the selection in this hymn book, begins, O Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. I remember so vividly when I had fallen in love with Jim Elliot back as a college student. I was struggling to surrender my love for him, which had no response, so far as I knew, in his heart, to God, and to come to a place of total self-abandonment as regards the question of marriage. I was trying to learn that the love of Christ is all I need. And this verse became very powerful to me then. Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted more deep, I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand. And then, as those of you who have read my book, Passion and Purity, know, Jim did, just before I graduated, confess his love for me. And there began a period of 5.5 years of waiting on God as to whether or not God wanted us to be married. We were not engaged. And during that time, in one of Jim's letters, he had visited a man who raised, I think it was gladiolas. And the man had told him about how he put the bulbs of the gladiolas in darkness in his basement. And it was then that the words of another stanza of this hymn came to mean a great deal more to Jim than they had before, and he put those words in his letter. But flowers need night's cool darkness, the moonlight and the dew. So Christ, from one who loved it, his shining oft withdrew. And then for cause of absence my troubled soul I scanned, but glory shadeless shineth in Emmanuel's land. Jim and I were going through what seemed to us a period of darkness, and Jim was just reminding me that God was in charge of that darkness as well. Flowers need night's cool darkness. We need those times when it seems as though Christ has withdrawn His shining. And then if we begin to look inside of ourselves and indulge in a lot of fretful and anxious introspection, wondering if our lack of spiritual feelings is due to some sin, something that has caused a breach between us and our Lord, let's remember that that is not always the reason. Christ, from one who loved it, His shining oft withdrew. For the same reason that flowers, for their full development, have to have darkness. And then there's another hymn. If you happen to have the InterVarsity hymnal, the original InterVarsity hymnal, which I don't suppose very many of you have, but the other hymn, which goes to the same tune, is right across the page. And this has become another one of my favorites. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one, the man of sorrows, condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. And teach me, Savior, teach me the value of a soul. I began to pray the prayer of this hymn when I was a student in college and first learned this hymn. This was not one of those that we had sung at home. If you pray, oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, what do you think God's answer is likely to be? Well, I think God is likely to do exactly what you ask. He is going to begin to teach you the meaning of the cross. The cross of Jesus is a symbol of suffering. Paul says that the cross appears to be foolishness to the world. He said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. And in a world so desperately seeking power and money and fulfillment and fame and recognition and appreciation and wealth, to talk about the cross, that symbol of suffering, that instrument of torture and execution back in the days of the Roman Empire, that place of utter shame to our Lord Jesus. Well, it doesn't go over very big, does it? It's not likely to. The message of the cross was foolishness back in Paul's day. It will always appear to be foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who are not on their way to heaven. But I have found the teaching of the cross, the answer to my prayer, to be the most comforting, the most wonderfully liberating thing. When I sin, I can look to the cross and know that all my sins, all of them, the very worst ones, even the deliberate ones, were taken by that Lamb of God. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. When I'm being misunderstood, I can remember that Christ himself was also misunderstood and taunted. And the last stanza of that hymn says, O infinite Redeemer, I bring no other plea. Because thou dost invite me, I cast myself on thee. Because thou dost accept me, I love and I adore. Because thy love constraineth, I'll praise thee evermore.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.